Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today on Fired Up with CJ, I have Alan Eisenberg, who created a website named Bullying Stories, Dealing with Bullying from an Adult Perspective. Welcome, Alan.
Oh, thank you, CJ. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and before I forget, tell us the URL for your website, too.
Yeah, it's bullyinglte.wordpress.com. So LTE for long-term effects.
Okay. Bullying, LTE. Repeat it again.
Bullying, LTE, dot WordPress.com.
Okay, great. Okay, folks. So, Alan, tell me a little bit about when you created this website.
Yeah, I created this website back in 2007. And what had happened back then is I'm a graduate from Virginia Tech. And in 2007, there was an incident that made national news, international news, really, where one of the students went into the classroom and shot many people, and it was a big tragedy at the school, and it really affected me. But what affected me even more was afterward, they started talking about this student, and bullying came up, as it typically does with young people when incidents happen, particularly incidents with guns and violence and schools. And I had been contemplating for quite a while issues that I felt happened to me when I was a child and how it affected me as an adult. And I have a I'm pretty well in tune with my emotions and my emotional being to realize that I believe in these long-term effects and the personality aspects of myself and that those were formed possibly during bullying years because of bullying. And so I decided that, you know, I wanted to do something bigger than just think about it for myself or maybe even solve it for myself, but put it out there via the web and try to make a difference, try to get people talking about it.
Okay, two questions for you. Tell me a little bit about your own personal contemplation and what you're contemplating at the time.
Well, I think for me, I just noticed personality aspects of myself and stories that were in my head. And, I wanted to create a dialogue about them. One of the things that I was feeling is as adults, we don't talk about, bullying and what happened to us as kids. We kind of bottle it up and put it in the back of our minds. And for me, it's always been stories in my head of these things that happened. And I felt like it would be cathartic to release them, to talk about them using the venue of the web and particularly blogs, which lend themselves to storytelling.
Yeah. So what would that, when you said that there were personality aspects, what were you starting to contemplate were the personality aspects that were related, your personality and the aspects that were related to the bullying that you had in earlier years?
All right. For me, there's really been two effects that I felt like were going on. The first one manifested itself at the end of college, interestingly enough, and at the start of one of my last finals, I had my first panic attack. Mm. And, you know, a panic attack is really the inadvertent reaction of fight or flight at an inappropriate time. So we all have a fight or flight instinct, and I can certainly recall when I was bullied as a child that always comes up when you see them.
So you'd mentioned that you were contemplating, you know, the Virginia Tech incident made you contemplate things. What did it make you contemplate for yourself?
Well, it made me think about the personality aspects of myself as an adult and even as a young adult, and the things that I react to or how I am, particularly the two things that I found about myself that were strange is right around the end of college, I started having panic attacks and inappropriate panic attacks that came out of nowhere. It felt like for no reason. But the first one actually happened at one of my last finals in college. And I just remember that feeling, which is, you know, the hair standing on the back of your neck, your heart racing, sweating. You think you're going to have a heart attack or pass out. And you just have this enormous feeling that you need to get out of there right away. And that same feeling, it made me realize almost at that moment, I flashed back to, you know, when the bullies would come toward me, that was the exact same feeling because fight or flight's a very natural instinct, but mine started to not work correctly or was off. What I would say was off.
Yeah. What do you think was it? What was the test? What do you see is now looking back was the association between taking that test and then the fight or flight or the panic attack response?
That's a great question. I have thought about that a lot, and I think it was at that moment I was entering into a whole new phase of my life, which, you know, was growing up, was sort of leaving this, you know, university life behind and having to go get a job. A lot of nervousness around that. Mm. And I think that nervousness that had set that off. But the truth of the matter about panic attacks is it's no one's really sure what the triggers are. For me, it would typically be something like a job interview or going on an airplane flight. You know, I started to have weird claustrophobia issues I'd never had before. I was having trouble at movies when the lights went down. Very strange things that were just not normal for me. The other part of that, the second thing I noticed about myself is that when I got married, my wife started to be a little more honest with me than probably most other people, but she was telling me that, you know, sometimes my reactions, where I would get upset about something in a conversation we were having, I was triggered to feel threatened, but she wasn't doing anything to put me in that. And as I thought about that, I noticed that I would have that where, you know, the same idea where I'm feeling what I call perceived threat syndrome or feeling threatened for inappropriate reasons. So, like, people are against me, but they're really not.
Yeah, and it's interesting because as you forwarded me a bunch of articles, and it's not uncommon where I remember reading, and you probably know the article of the gentleman who said that, you know, at work, you know, people will just have to look at him funny, and it sets off that fight or flight reaction where he almost overreacts to the situation and kind of inappropriately reacts because there's not really a threat, but just small words or energy or whatever he picks up can kind of pick up, you know, create that triggered response. So pretty typical, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what it really relates to is in the military, it's talked about as PTSD, you know, these feelings that you know, you're being attacked when you're not is a common problem in PTSD. And so I started to realize that PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder. It's not post-war stress disorder. You've had a traumatic stress in your life. That's the same as bullying. I mean, bullying is a traumatic stress. People in war are feeling threatened. People who are bullied relentlessly are feeling threatened. And what the studies are showing is that when that happens very frequently, you know, in wartime, it's a daily experience. And for many kids on the playground or even some adults, it's a daily experience. It starts to break what are normal abilities to react. It starts to change, you know, your ability to understand how to react because you're always feeling threatened. And as that happens, you know, your body starts to just assume it's threatened all the time.
Yeah, and it makes sense because, you know, as I was reading through the articles of, you know, the numerous stories, whether it was you or other people who've experienced bullying, which I think as I was speaking to you earlier, you said bullying is like chronic or, you know, that daily experience of someone. Is it emotionally traumatizing you or physically hurting you? Or, I mean, what is bullying? What's a formal definition of what bullying is, or is it very subjective?
Well, I think you'd hear from a lot of people. One of the problems with bullying and one of the problems today is that it is one definition says, you know, to be, to use the term being bullied means it has to be frequent. It has to be more than once. It has to be something that is a bigger reaction than just, oh, somebody said something to you. Mm-hmm. But in our sensitized society today, and we have a right to be sensitized, I want to mention that, you know, we have to be careful to distinguish people having conflicts from people being relentlessly bullied. But bullying is any time that someone, in my feeling, it's any time someone overpowers you physically or mentally, where you as a individual either can't get out of that situation and, you feel, threatened by that situation. So, mm-hmm. you know, that can take place either mentally or physically. You know, with many boys, it tends to have a physical aspect, and for many girls, it tends to have a mental aspect, but that's very, turning into a very gray area these days, particularly.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, and I think that, you know, I think the reason why, as I hear it, the reason why it is related to post-traumatic stress is that, and at least with the boys and the stories that I read, I mean, there was a sense that your life was in danger. And, you know, that couldn't be more scary as a kid. So I have Alan Eisenberg, the creator of the website Bullying Stories, Dealing with Bully from an Adult Perspective on Fired Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio. Up next, we're going to continue hearing about Alan's story about bullying. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
So this may sound simple, but when you're planning a road trip, you have to figure out where you're going first. With the Take Shape for Life program, the destination is living life at optimal health. So what does that mean? It means more energy. It means less medications. And yes, it means losing the extra pounds, which is actually part of the getting there. Talk to a Take Shape for Life health coach who's been there. Listen to their story and their journey. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
The 19th Annual Women of Wisdom Conference is February 17th through the 21st. Our theme is Women Arise, Unveil the Power of the Divine Feminine. Special guests are Susan Weed, Carolyn Sutherland, and many others, sharing their gifts through experiential events all weekend long. Join our email list at womenofwisdom.org and watch for announcements about the conference. That's womenofwisdom.org.
Get up to $5,000 guaranteed for your trade and $1,000 in free gas. Central is pulling out the big guns for this one. Central Oil Group in Plainfield. Home of Ford, Mazda, and Hyundai. Central has hundreds of cars that get over 40 miles per gallon. Gas prices are predicted to hit $5 a gallon by summer. Trade in that gas guzzler now. At Central, where you get up to $5,000 and $1,000 in free gas. At Central Hyundai, get over 40 miles per gallon with a 2011 Sonata for $179 a month. At Central Mazda, drive the Mazda 3 for $189 a month. At Central Ford, get over 40 miles per gallon with the Ford Focus. Drive it for $149 a month. America's best warranty. 10-year, 100,000 miles. Hundreds of pre-owned cars starting at under $5,000. Test drive. CentralAutoGroupCT.com. Central, exit 87 off I-395 in Plainfield. Open 7 days. Call 860-564-4014.
Central Auto Group. 1230 WBLQ.
And In case you just joined in, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Alan Eisenberg, who speaks with adults and youth about his experience dealing with bullying. So before the break, you're defining bullying. And, you know, you also said that that doing the website for you was really cathartic. What was purged or cleansed from, I guess, at the formal definition of cathartic? What was it that was cleansed for you by doing the stories?
Well, I think for me, I needed an outlet to tell them. When things are in your head and you don't release them and you don't talk about them, they tend to stay there. And I really thought what we were talking about before, where how I was reacting, you know, these things were in my head, and if I could release them, if I could use the web as a format to release them, I thought, you know, that would be healing. And just like going to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, you know, the end goal is for you to tell your story, to admit to what it is you're feeling. And so for me, I've never really had that problem of not being able to admit to it. I just wasn't releasing it. So by putting my stories out there, I wanted to do two things. One, I really wanted to just put them out, say, this happened to me. I'm not ashamed of it. It's not going to haunt me. This is the reality. But the other side of it, and the reason I call my site The Long-Term Effects and The Bullying Stories, is that I wanted other people, particularly adults, but also children, to know that they weren't alone in what they went through, because I knew others had gone through it. And you know, for me, it feels very alone when it's happening. So I wanted to ensure that there were stories out there on the web where I know the younger generation in particular is reading, that they could find these stories about my experience and know it happens to other people.
How do you think those stories help other people heal? And because I think that they do, and you've probably seen it happen numerous times, but what do you think is happening?
I think the biggest thing is that you feel very alone. As we talked about before, the definition of bullying is really being, you know, it's an intent to separate you from everyone else and you to feel overpowered. Empowerment is one of the most important things you can do. So for others to know, one, they're not alone, and that this is what happens. This is how it happens. And I got very lucky. I had no idea that the media would take on bullying just a few years after I started my blog. So when I started it, there wasn't all of this information on the web. The studies weren't as deep. It just wasn't there like it is today. So, you know, for me, I felt like for others that would be a healing thing for them well.
So that, I mean, and any time you launch something, you know, that's new, it's kind of scary, but it seems like this would be particularly scary because you're, you know, telling something about your private stories to the world. I mean, how did it feel when you wrote your first story and like hit the send button?
Well, the funny part was, it was only been about a year since I put my name on the site. So I wasn't even putting my name out there, and I hadn't really realized I hadn't done that, until about then. And then I realized, you know, I had never put that out there. So that was kind of, a strange thing to figure that out and realize, you know, I am not admitting it fully. So it was very scary. And I remember the other thing I chose to do, and I'm in the media world as a career, so I tend to work with people who understand what I'm doing, is I told the people at work I had done it. And that was a very scary and, you know, thing to do, to admit to it to them, but I wanted them to know what I was up to too. So, you know, even today, I'm not usually going to tell people I'm doing it right off the bat.
Yeah, what was scary about telling those people at work? What was scary for you?
Yeah, I think the scary thing is that, you know, when it happens to you even as a child and as an adult, you know, I don't think it goes away, the fear of wanting to be accepted, the fear that people will reject you because of it or realize, ooh, he's kind of weak. And maybe try to pick on you. Even as an adult, you think back to these things. And so I think that's the fear. And certainly over the years, I've had, you know, nasty comments put on the website and, you know, things that are very interesting. But what I knew would happen and what I believe in terms of social networking and blog is that the defenders will come and take care of you. You know, you find out how many friends you have in this world. So I tell businesses this as a career, you know, that don't worry about putting, you know, if you believe in what you're doing, then you don't worry about putting yourself out there, because if you really believe it, the ones who are with you will be at your defense at all times. And it's very true. It is.
Yeah, that's a powerful idea. That is a powerful idea.
And so for the website, you know, others who come to it and use it also get that defense. And so it really is a wonderful thing, I think, for others who I've talked to over the course of the years of the website, to have the website as well and be able to have a cathartic experience themselves with it. And they know that there's a group of people that are there and has their back.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can like reveal your stories in a protected, held space. You know that, like you said, that people will be out there defending you, and protecting you. I mean, maybe what they didn't do earlier in your life, but at least now you know that they will.
Right. And I think, you know, for me, the other interesting thing to mention is that I put my stories out there, and I have one in particular that, you know, I feel real bad about and was worried about putting out there. And then, you know, after I did mine, I thought, well, I'll see if anyone else wants to put their stories out there.
Which one did you worry about? Which one was it that you're like, oh, God, I don't know if I want to put this up here?
Well, the worst thing, the end game of my years of bullying, which took place from third grade to seventh grade, really, were the years of bullying I dealt with, was that I had built up such a fear, such a worry about what was going to happen to me, that this one boy who had of course been my friend the year before and one of my best friends, you know, flipped sides and decided to, you know, start telling me he was going to kill me, start telling me, you know, going to beat me to a bloody pulp and all of this, you know, really nasty, threatening things. And he was quite a bit bigger than me. In seventh grade is when all the boys start hitting puberty. So some of them skyrocket up to 6 feet, and some of them, like me, you know, are 4'9", 4'10", not quite there yet. And so I was really scared, because one, he knew me, being that he was my friend. And two, at this point, you know, I had so much damage from the years of bullying that I was tired. I was really, scared and tired. And so I decided that I was going to bring a weapon to school. And when I say a weapon, you know, this is back in the late 70s. You know, for me, it was a file, you know, a sharpened file. So not a knife, not a gun, but still, to me, something that I could use if I had to stab him if it got really, you know, scary.
So
for
sad.
Me. Yeah. And, you know, nothing I'd ever want to do. I'm not a violent person at all. And certainly there was just a lot of worry and damage and fear, for me. So I did. And, eventually he discovered my way home and came after me, and I pulled it out and I did, you know, cut his side. I didn't stab him, but, you know, just slashed, surprised him, and then ran home, and he ran all the way home after me. And just by the action of doing that violent act, it really haunts me to today. It's not something I ever wanted to do. It's not something I would ever be proud of doing. And it's against my nature to do. And, you know, and it's still, as I even tell you this story, I get a sick pit in my stomach. But, you know, I also know that at that point in my life, you know, I was 12 years old. I was afraid to go to school. I was afraid of these kids, and I was living in fear. And so what I equate that to, and getting back to the whole, this kid who did Virginia Tech and what happened, is this idea that, you know, what is the extreme action? We know the extreme on one side is suicide. We know that. We know bully side is a reality, that kids kill themselves, leave notes. I did this because I was bullied. But the other side is these kids who walk into schools with guns. You know, are they scared? Do they have a psychological break and feel threatened to the point? And the problem with it is that the kid who kills themselves, you know, it's all about a life lost and what the potential was, and that the, you know, the bullying caused this. But if a kid walks in with the guns, and, you know, obviously there's a high chance of violence, and in many cases there is, you know, that's a demonized child. That's a demonized teen who did it, you know, for whatever reason, but they've been other lives.
Yeah.
But that I worry about that psychological break. I don't want to say it's a sympathy thing, but I can understand, given what my actions were at the extreme, how someone could get to a point where they feel they have to bring a gun to school is what I fear if we don't do something about the bullying issue.
Yeah, I want to talk to you a little bit more about that, because it seems like there's so many systematic community things that were in operation that maybe even caught, you know, that never protected you, that caused you to have to even bring file or other people guns to school. So Alan Eisenberg, who speaks with adults and youth about his experience dealing with bullying, on Fired Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio Network. Up next, understanding what parents and schools can do to help kids who are being bullied. If you want to find out more about this show or Alan, or listen to other shows like this, check it out at www.fireitupwithcj.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Now is the perfect time to learn Tai Chi and Qigong. These ancient Chinese healing arts, also called mind-body practice, are simple to learn, clinically proven to be effective, and can be practiced by anyone, anywhere, at any time. For 10 years, the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi has been a respected leader in mind-body practice training. Visit IIQTC.org. Empower yourself, empower others. Visit IIQTC.org for more information on mind body practice. IIQTC.org.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Hi, I'm Rob Valenti of the Valenti Family of Dealerships. We are number one for a reason with our three locations. The Here We Go event is down to its final 4 days. Save thousands. First Bob Valenti Subaru Toyota, Dunn's Corners, Wesley, Rhode Island. New Camrys for $159 a month. New Subaru Impreza, only $199 a month. We are your largest stocking Toyota Subaru dealer because we sell the most. Call now, 401-322-7200, or visit us at BobValenti.com. Second, Bob Valenti Auto Mall, Mystic, Connecticut. Home of Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Volkswagen. People are coming from Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts. Over 1,000 cars and trucks in stock. 2011 Chevy Avails, only $99.99. We have Cruises, Malibus, 2011 Fusions, only $179 a month. 2011 Ram trucks from 1877 and 0% financing. 2011 Jeep Wranglers, only $21,577. 2011 Chrysler 200s, only $199 a month. Finally, VW Bolt Saber, VW Jettas, $169 a month. Diesels arriving daily, 1 hour delivery. Everybody drives away. Call now, 1-800-699-2571, or visit us at BobValenti.com. Remember, folks, when I put out there, if I can't beat the competitor's price by $500, I'll give you $1,000 cash back. Well, I haven't given back one $1,000 bill yet. Also, we are taking in Nissans, Hondas, Kias, BMWs. Remember, folks, just smile.
1230 WBLQ.
CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment on Fired Up with CJ, Alan Eisenberg, creator of the website Bullying Stories, dealing with bully from an adult perspective, discussing what parents can do about bullying. So I know you just shared with us this awful story about your culminating experience of when you actually struck back at your tormentor with a file, and your kind of cautionary tale that, hey, you know, kids who are, you know, being threatened, their lives being threatened. In your case, this guy saying that he was going to beat you to a bloody pulp and that he was going to kill you. You know, what are they supposed to do? Suicide is one of the, you know, ways that people deal with it. Violence is the other. And you said the whole thing sickened you. I mean, if you were to tune into your stomach and that sickness, what is it that, what is it saying to you?
I think, you know, from any standpoint of having to take actions that are against your nature, I think that stomach issue, that feeling in your pit of your stomach is a normal one. And what's interesting is, again, a lot of victims of bullying who have physical manifestations of the problem, they tend to be in their stomach. Mm. They tend to have digestive problems. They tend to have ulcers and, you know, things that deal with stress and worry. And that's an interesting thing that's come out of the studies, is that that stomach issues and that stress issue that comes with it is a normal part of it. So,
yeah. Do you think your parents, and going back to your parental response, because, you know, you wonder as a parent, as I heard these stories, I'm like, God, how would I even know if my child was being bullying? I mean, you told your mom, but are there any kind of distress signals? I mean, one is like, look, if they have stomach aches a lot, that may be one thing. But what other ways would you know as a parent, even know?
I mean, if a kid is feeling sick all the time, you know, the stomach issues or not wanting to go to school, I think grades are a typical indicator that people can watch if your child's grades are changing. Mm-hmm. If their mood, I mean, you know, I think my mood and how I was probably acting and reacting was definitely a trigger. You know, at some point I stopped smiling. I know that.
Oh my God!
And then
I
start, you know, bringing anger home to my house, and I was a pretty happy kid up until probably 7 years old, really happy. And I'm an outgoing person and an outgoing kid, so, you know, I think you have to be very conscious. I think in the home you have to have good dialogue, and that's got to start. Unfortunately, it's hard to do post bullying. You have to work at that pre-bullying. So making sure your kids know that you're available to them to talk to, making sure, I think, as a parent, that you're telling your children that you love them, that they know there is love in the house, is a really important element as well. And that's not always easy for all parents. You know,
yeah.
I think many of us grew up in an era where parents didn't always tell the kids that they love them. And I think we're a little maybe more in the more modern era, we're maybe a little warmer. But I think it's really important to have dialogue with your children well before these years, or when they hit 7, 8, 9, preteen. If you haven't done it, then, you know, I think that's tough. And you really want to open up and be having dialogues.
Dialogue you had with your mom, because it seems like you did tell your mom at the time. What did you tell her, and what was her reaction?
I did, and I grew up in a very loving family, and I did. I was really honest with my mom. In fact, my mom was part of one of the early experiences of bullying. She was actually there, and they actually picked on her as well, which was very disheartening as a child to watch your mother sort of running after these kids that could outrun her, who were taunting her. It really depowered her. So on some level, as a child, I didn't feel like she could defend me after that incident, which is, you know, a whole story too. But I think, you know, as a parent, it's very hard to know what the right choice is. And there wasn't the information that there is today. So for my mom, you know, her thought is, you know, talk it out with them. Don't fight back. That doesn't get you anywhere. You know, I think those were her biggest pieces of advice, was, not that she was unsympathetic, but that to try to talk to the bully and try to work it out, and and as well-meaning as I think she was, the reality is that that's not typically going to work.
I know, and here's the thing that's really enigmatic to me. What's puzzling is that, you know, when I was reading, when I've read through the articles in your website, it seems that either, you know, either revenge, you know, turning really dark, like the one woman on your website, did you get really dark and vengeful, or beating the tar out of someone, seems like those are the only solutions. It seems like really those are the only things that honestly get that person to stop, because ultimately it's a power struggle. So unless power is met with greater or equal force, then there's not a threat of power being disrupted, and the kid will keep on beating the tar out of you. So I don't know what are the other options. I mean, do you have any other options aside from running away, avoiding, getting revenge, beating the tar out of someone? What else is there to do if you are being bullied?
Well, the problem with beating the tar out of somebody, and when I go and speak, there are many, many parents and adults, and this is the typical reaction, is, hey, just punch him back. You know, all you got to do is lay one punch out. You know, hit him once, and that's going to be the end of it. And there, you know, I don't want to say there isn't truth in that. That is what it ultimately came to for me in some ways. But the problem with that, the problem I always had with that, you know, which ties on to my story about the file, is that as adults, we're not allowed to do that. And as adults, that's assault. Even in defense, you two of you have a fight, you're both going to get in trouble. You're both going to be hauled down to the police station. It's not really the way we should solve problems, and it's a temporary solution at best. So ultimately that's a fine answer to say, okay, let's get out of this situation by doing that. But I have a pretty close acquaintance who's actually a judge who sits in juvenile court, and she attended one of my sessions where it got into a heated conversation about my kids just got to fight back, you know, da da da. And she said, no, you know, this is, you know, she's been sitting on the bench for 15 years, and no, that's not the answer.
Well, what is the answer then? And what is the answer then?
So the answer is really the community. The answer is really that what you're starting to hear now, which is bystander awareness, that the community that is the school, the community that surrounds the school, and particularly other youth, when it comes to youth bullying, and have to start taking a stand and just not allowing it to happen. And when they see it happening, diffusing it. Because all it takes is one more person in any situation to come forward and say, stop. And this is really interesting right now that I think it's ABC television does a What Would You Do show, and they keep doing bullying subjects and testing this theory out. But it's proven true. All it takes is one brave individual to say to the bullies, stop doing that. You know, and then the others who were watching the situation will come forward.
But isn't that a case in Philadelphia where the kid got pushed in the tree and then didn't one of his friends try to stop him, and then they also beat him up too? Was that the scenario? Or maybe have seen so many movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think in that one that happened. What did happen was a woman, a neighbor drove by and saw it happen, and she diffused the situation.
Okay. I've seen so many movies where, like, the person gets involved and then they get the tar beaten out of them. Does that happen only in movies? Or, I mean, I don't have a lot of real life case stories to know what would happen when a bystander does come in and intervene and diffuse a situation. What, do you have data that works?
Well, there is scientific studies, but again, every scenario is different, and I think nine times, you know, in many cases, what bullies' goal is to separate you, is to catch you when you aren't around someone. So whether that's in a bathroom at the school or where no one else can see, I know for me that was a big piece of it, is there was this playground sort of in the back end of the school, and if I went down there, you know, it was a matter of minutes before they came down because the teachers were watching somewhere else or couldn't see that far. And that's the intent. I mean, that's what the idea is to separate, to have you somewhere where that can't happen. So that's why, you know, it always sounds cynical when I say this, but I'm not sure you can totally stop bullying, and because their goal is to catch you unawares when you're alone.
Right.
And given that that's the case, you will eventually be that way at a time when they're looking. So I really want to emphasize there are really great school programs about bystander awareness, about how to diffuse bullying situations. But that's only one part of it. The other part is victim and bully recovery, you know, sort of the psychological damage part. Because I hate to say it, but it just will happen. And I'm not sure we can ever say we can solve it totally. So yeah. I think we want to also focus on not letting that become this long-term issue that a person never recovers from, that when it happens and when we get awareness that it happened, to then work with both the victim and the bully and help them recover and learn from it and move on in life.
Yeah, so I want to talk to you when we come back from the break about, you know, the school programs and then the recovery piece as well. So Alan Eisenberg, who speaks with adults and youths about his experience dealing with bullying, I'm fired up with CJN Transformation Talk Radio Network. Up next, we'll be talking about the school programs that can be put in place to help kids who are being bullied and what can we do to heal and recover people who have been victims of bully or were bullies himself. You want to know more about Alan or listen to this or other shows like this, check it out on www.firedupwithcj or going to Alan's site, which is bullying LTE for long-term effects at wordpress.com. Thanks, we'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. With CRA, we are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Get up to $5,000 guaranteed for your trade and $1,000 in free gas. Central is pulling out the big guns for this one. Central Auto Group in Plainfield. Home of Ford, Mazda, and Hyundai. Central has hundreds of cars that get over 40 miles per gallon. Gas prices are predicted to hit $5 a gallon by summer. Trade in that gas guzzler now. At Central, where you get up to $5,000 and $1,000 in free gas. At Central Hyundai, get over 40 miles per gallon with a 2011 Sonata for $179 a month. At Central Mazda, drive the Mazda 3 for $189 a month. At Central Ford, get over 40 miles per gallon with the Ford Focus. Drive it for $149 a month. America's best warranty. 10-year, 100,000 miles. Hundreds of pre-owned cars starting at under $5,000. Test drive. CentralAutoGroupCT.com. Central, exit 87 off I-395 in Plainfield. Open 7 days. Call 860-564-4014.
Central Auto Group. 1230 WBLQ.
Alan, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's interesting. First of all, I think what's good is that there's dialogue going on. That I think what you're finding now is that communities realize they have to take action, that they can't, you know, just sit idly by. And it's not just kids being kids, that there are big effects by this. So I think you're seeing this in a lot of communities. I think a prime example is, you know, where Joel Burns in Texas, who sits on his council, talked about his stories and opened up about it. One of the issues, you know, when Chris is telling his story is what I hear is you know, it's a typical story even in business. You know, you throw people at things, but throwing people and getting good training or good knowledge about what to do about it is two different things. So you could throw a whole lot of, you know, security people in a school, but if they don't know what they're looking for or how to find the issue or what they're supposed to do in that job, and that could be the problem. I'm not saying it is, certainly, but I think, you know, throwing people at a problem is not ever a solution to a problem. Because like I said, yeah, the bully's intent is to find a way to entrap that victim when they're alone. And there's always that opportunity. It's very hard to not have that opportunity.
Well, going back to the throwing resources around, I know the White House has a new bullying site, and it seems like there's lots of other stuff that's happening generally. You know, the awareness that people have, as you mentioned before, has increased on bullying, and now lots of money is being devoted to it. What else is happening? What are things that you see that are like, you know, these are really good things, these are the things that worry me about what's happening today with respect to bullying?
Well, what's great today, and I think it's an inadvertent aspect of the web, is that, yeah, I don't know why, but bullies started videotaping their victimization of people. Mm-hmm. And then that started to get viral and upset a lot of people. And this recently happened in the Nadine Curry case out in Philadelphia. But it's not uncommon now with the social media aspect, and particularly with the way that we have citizens who now are reporters and have the ability to be, the stories get out now and the victims' stories get out. So I think that raised awareness to a level where we know about what happened to Phoebe Prince in Boston, where that would have never been known nationally. I'd say even 5 years ago, it wouldn't have been a big story. Now it is. And now it's a precedent-setting case to the point where, you know, the president says, between that case and many others, I'm going to do something about it. It's gone to the highest level it can possibly go now in this country, where the president has had a conference on it last week, has made a website, you know, where information will be collected. The media, the news outlets are always talking about it. And that's the first point to solution. Mm-hmm. I'll put a warning in there. I'll put a caveat in there. The thing I worry about with all of that is that the angle that's taken with it, you know, we have to talk about it appropriately, and the conversations have to be solution based, not just telling these horrible stories and upsetting people.
Right.
And then the other part is that we really want to get to the point, of community solution. What I really worry about is that we're going to start enacting a lot of laws, you know, when it gets up to the justice systems, to the point where kids are being brought up on charges. You know, it worries me to another extent that we're still not solving the psychological problem, the problem of solving the damage of bullying. We're just going to stick kids in jail. We're just going to, you know, punish them. And it's bigger. It's much bigger and much more important that we solve it from a psychological standpoint.
Scaring the bullies. Scaring the bullies through throwing them in jail. You know, I'm sure it's a deterrent, but right? I mean, that's one of the strongest deterrents. You could go to, you know, and I don't know what's happening to the 9 kids in Phoebe Prince's situation, but I know a lot of them are considering, you know, throwing them in jail.
Yeah. Well, and what we know of that is that when you take people and you make them criminals, so in the case of bullies, 40% of them end up with one record on their record. So if you're a serial bully, then you end up with a record. Now that pretty much ruins your life. Mm. And then, you know, out of that remaining ones, well, 60% of them end up with a record, and 40% more end up with more than one. Mm. So those aren't good things. And so, again, if we stick them in jail and they get a record, that's going to take away from future success for that individual who might have recovered from what they did. And I'm not, you know, at all condoning the bullying, but, you know, I think they are youth. They are, you know, they do need to get help and learn. They're still learning about behavior. And if we start to get it into the legal system to a point where we're just throwing them in jail or juvenile hall, then they're just going to end up continuing a criminal record because they can't get out of the trap that they've gotten themselves into.
So let's go back, because I think this is related to your earlier comment in the previous segment about healing. And, you know, in this case, it's, you know, throwing a bully in jail is not necessarily going to heal them or stop them.
Right.
I mean, what are your thoughts about the healing of both the bully and the victim? But let's start with the victim, too, first, because I think that's probably more traumatic for them.
Yeah, well, I think that victims, you know, the first thing you have to do is figure out what the victimization was, you know, talk about the victimization. But the other part is to realize, you know, the techniques that are being used on the military right now, who have the PTSD issue that I mentioned before, are can be followed just as well, you know, in terms of learning to build up their self-esteem again, where a lot of the damage is in the self-esteem. And, you know, I think as we discussed previously, there are people who talk about not going to college or not even leaving their house anymore, you know, or talking to people, their self-esteem is so damaged, you know, that it stops them from doing things that make them successful, or at least they feel that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes I have that same feeling, you know, I can feel that way. So that requires some work. And then, you know, again, I think socialization, a lot of them lose the ability to socialize. They're afraid to socialize, to make friends. They're afraid of what will happen from that.
I think telling the stories, right? I mean, that's one of the things that was so healing for you. Tell your story because you're not alone. It seems like that's one of the things, at least one step you can take.
Share. And then that's what I asked for. And boy, did I get it. You know, when I opened up my website, I thought here I was and I told my story about using the file. I thought, what a terrible story. And then, you know, a 60-year-old grandma of three wrote a letter about the revenge she took on the bullies and how angry she still is today.
And
doesn't talk about it, but wow, she blew me away. And then this other person wrote about what happened to them in a locker room, which I don't even think I'd talk about on this show. It was so terrible.
I really encourage people to go. And as a close, I really want to thank you for sharing your story, Alan. It's very brave and courageous for you to do what you've done. And I think it's probably helped and healed a lot of people. So thank you for your courage in doing that. And read the stories, because I think one of the things out there is there is, as Northwestern points out, an empathy gap where we just don't understand the effects of bullying. And that was really what this show was about, is to close the empathy gap. I mean, there are a lot of long-term effects. There's a lot of positive things happening, but I think there's still more for us to learn. So thank you. Thanks so much.
And I do want to just say one more thing that, you know, you mentioned empathy, and people should look up the definition of empathy. Empathy is not so much that you understand what someone went through. It's that you can accept that they went through it and be sympathetic even though you didn't.
Right.
I think that's something that people need to learn to do. It's not something that's natural, but
right.
We should all learn to be more empathetic.
Yeah, just listen to this show again. If you're to do one thing, listen to this show again and really listen with an open heart and openness. And I think that alone will help you get more empathy. So next Thursday on Fired Up with CJ, it's a month of April, and we'll have four shows on the environment. And we're going to kick our shows off with Dennis Hayes, who is the father of Earth Day. So have a great week, and we'll see you next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.